Hey, I want to start this morning's message as we would conclude the series we've been in on God calling us to live unconventionally. I want to start with a passage, and you're going to need to open your Bibles or just listen real carefully. We're not going to put this one up on the screen. It's from Mark chapter 2, and it's this unique little story of Jesus that we're going to start with. Starting in verse 23, Mark 2, starting in verse 23. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. No big deal, right? But the Pharisees said to Jesus, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of their day. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Now, to understand what they're talking about, the Sabbath represented the seventh day of the week. And God had established it as a day of rest, to cease from work. For Jews, this was a major, major rule because God had actually written it right in to the Jewish law. As believers in Jesus, we are not bound by Jewish law the way that they were. In fact, it represents some of what Damon was talking about when he talked about peace, about God has made the Jews and Gentiles one. We're a new people. So as Christians, we're not bound to the Jewish law. We're bound to God's law. But even as we look back to how did God instruct the Jewish people, there is so much to learn. There's so much that we can be instructed by because it's the same God. And as believers in Jesus, though we're not bound by Jewish law, we learn that Jesus was reintroducing concepts and ideas for us, his people, and that's what he begins to do in the next verses. So listen to what Jesus begins to instruct the Pharisees on, picking up now in verse 25. Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave them to some of his companions." So what he did is he actually kind of turned the tables a little bit on the religious leaders by saying, hey, you know what? Even when we go back and look at one of the heroes of the Jewish faith, King David, he said, don't you realize that David caught on to a reality here? Now I'm going to unpack this for you, Pharisees, and let you know why this was such a big deal. Because then Jesus said to them this. He said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." Can I tell you, Jesus did something here that was so unique. He turned the tables on them. He came at this so unconventionally. He really did, because they had really believed that, hey, the Sabbath was there. It's a rule, and we are rule-following people. We are good Jews, and we follow all the rules. And they had like 613 rules that they followed, and the Sabbath was a big one. 613 different rules, and hey, your disciples are breaking the rules. And Jesus wanted to let them know, no, you don't understand. Here is why God made the Sabbath. It was for you. It was to be a blessing for you to meet your needs. And this just blows my mind, because Jesus was saying, God knows what you need. He knows what you need, and he cares so much about you that he actually created one day of the week for your rest. He knows so much about us. He cares so deeply that he wanted us to be people at rest. Or as my friend AJ Swoboda says, we worship the God who created the weekend. Yes, praise God. Praise the Lord. He knows us that well that we need that. And so in this season of hustle and bustle, Thanksgiving and Christmas season, I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of rest. Of rest. Kelly told me this week when she heard what I was speaking on, she said, Moss Holder, you should not preach about things you do not know about. Back at ya. Yeah, she's not up here, true. But I told her, I said, honey, I said, just remember that whoever's preaching gets the message the loudest. And I need this word over me as much as anyone. Listen, the entire holiday season, when you think about it, it is filled with so much just frenetic energy. The pace is just crazy. You know, we're going from store to store, running around trying to find the perfect gifts. Then we're going from party to party. Then we're going, oh my gosh, I've got to decorate my own home. And then like, oh man, my kids love this particular cookie. And so we're making cookies and we're making extra food. And then we get invited to Christmas parties at work. We get invited to Christmas parties through our friends and neighborhood network. We get invited to events at our kids' schools. We could even get invited to crazy events that are happening at our church, right? It is like so nuts. Like, whoa, what's going on? And all of this while binge watching Hallmark Christmas movies, while eating tamales and drinking peppermint lattes, okay? I mean, that's like the Christmas whole season feels. It can just feel like this huge rush, this huge caffeinated rush. And into this reality, Jesus speaks these words, come to me, and I will give you rest. See, throughout Scripture, all the way back from the beginning, we discover that God's desire is that his people would be a rested people. This goes so much against the grain of our culture. It is so unconventional to think this way because we know how the world works. We know what society has told us and that we have to fight, fight, fight and work, work, work for everything we get, right? In fact, man, when my kids were growing up and especially my eldest in sports teams, I mean, one of the common themes is, hey, if you want to win, you have to work harder than the other team. Because they're still in bed right now. You're up working so you can be a winner, right? And that's the mentality that kind of gets woven through our pace and our culture. And listen, even as followers of Jesus, the concept of rest can be really challenging to swallow. Why? Because we know that there is so much need. There is so much work to be done. There's so many places, even around the world, that like need that touch of God. And even in our neighborhoods and in our own city, and even in our own families, we say, God, but there's so much need. There's so much hurt. There's so much brokenness. God, I don't know how we're going to get this all done, God. So even as believers, we struggle with this. We say, God, didn't you say in your word that you created me to do good works in Ephesians chapter 2? So we even like remind God, you created me for good works. It can be really challenging. But listen, but the work that God calls us to is somehow in his created order designed to be rooted in rest. A work that is somehow rooted in his rest. Now, in the series of messages that we've been in over the past weeks, talking about Thanksgiving, talking about serving, talking about peace, and talking about today rest, we're seeing that as followers of Jesus, we're called to be different. We're called to be unconventional. We live different, we love different, and we even fight different. And we've been looking at this through the lens of one particular passage. It's a scripture that Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. We see it in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. So for the last time in this series, let's look at these words that Paul wrote. And he said, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. It's like we're different. We were created differently. I've called you to live differently. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We've been talking over these past weeks that each of these different themes is kind of like God's giving us this idea of what it looks like to fight unconventionally. We've been talking about unconventional warfare that God has called us to participate in. It's one of love and not of hate. But he said, so the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. He says, on the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people. We're actually fighting against the very powers of hell, those things that have been established to bind us up, to keep people captive, to hold people hostage against, you know, against their own will and against all those things that God wants to free us for, to love and to be healthy people, fruitful people, people that are on mission for him because he has created us to do good works. But man, the enemy wants to just bind us up so tight that we can't escape from these strongholds. But God has given us unconventional weapons, things to fight against these things. And guess what? One of the weapons that he's given us is the weapon of rest. Whew. It's unconventional warfare. He's given us the weapon of rest. And this morning we're going to be looking at how it helps us to fight two of these strongholds. Stronghold of fatigue and the stronghold of fear. But before we get there, I want to look at some of the passages, a couple key passages that God introduces this concept of rest to us in. Genesis chapter 2, go all the way to the beginning of Scripture. Second chapter of Genesis, the very first verse, and it begins like this. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, you read about 6 days of creation. And on the sixth day is the culmination, God's masterpiece. He created you and me. He created people, it says, on the sixth day. So then you turn over to the next chapter, and the very, very first thing it says, so the creation of the heavens and earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Now listen, we may wonder about what that means, that God rested. Because isn't God all powerful? It's like, listen, when God does his most amazing and extravagant work, when he like releases like billions of galaxies and all this, guess what? God's energy level has not been depleted one little bit. Not one little bit. Why would God need to rest? But see, this gives us a clue into even this concept of the Sabbath that was introduced. That his resting doesn't mean that he was tired, okay? What it means is that he decided, I'm drawing the boundary here, that was work, and now this is not work. This is ceasing from my labors, ceasing from work, which is the concept of this Sabbath rest, of ceasing from my labors. So remember this, and this is such a beautiful insight to this passage. Remember that on the sixth day, what did God create? Mankind. Humanity, you and me. Humanity was created on the sixth day. And on the seventh day was the Sabbath. So the very first day of Adam and Eve's existence was a day of rest. Can you imagine? I mean, this is like a very interesting thought. But check this out. Adam is created and he's given this amazing mission. You're to go and be fruitful and multiply. You're to rule and reign over the world. So are you ready, Adam? Yes, this is gonna be awesome. You've created me this amazing world to live in. Okay, are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Rest. On your marks, get set, rest. The very first day for them was a day of rest. Which is a beautiful reminder, I believe, of the gospel. Because you know what? God's grace that he gives us, which is like that Sabbath rest. In fact, we see that all through scripture, that this picture of God invites us into his rest. The picture of the gospel, the good news. And we cannot earn God's gracious gifts. His salvation, everything is just given to us freely as a gift, right? You can't earn it. You can't work for it. But out of the gospel flows these lives of gratitude because God has, he saved me. He's redeemed me. He has set me free. So out of that comes this abundance of grace through my life now flowing out that I now, it's my honor to work for him. It's my honor to live for him. And we see that picture wrapped up right here in Genesis chapter 2. So I said that fatigue is one of these strongholds that we get to fight against with rest. Psalm 127 verse 2 says this, "It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat." Did you hear that? Anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives what? Rest to his loved ones. He's the one who gives rest. But fatigue comes from this like workaholism that's so deeply embedded in our culture. But he says it's useless to operate that way. It's useless for us to think that we're going to make everything happen by this frenetic pace and energy. God brings rest, which reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls.'" Why? Why is that possible? Why, if I take your yoke upon me, and that yoke is that picture of, you know, like for oxen plowing the field, and they would put a yoke between two of the oxen so they could work together. And Jesus says, hey, listen, take my yoke. Like, hey, I don't want to be yoked with anything. I want to be free. I want to throw that yoke off. I'm already weary. And so Jesus says, no, you don't understand. See, because the way I have designed this to all work, all the way back to Genesis, right? All the way back is that your work would flow from your rest, not the other way around. We've been looking at it conventionally. God says, no, I have some unconventional wisdom for you here. Take my yoke upon you. For it is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Thank you, Jesus. Before we leave the scripture, I want you to hear it one more time. But I want you to hear it the way it's been shaped by a man of God named Eugene Peterson, who wrote a translation of scripture called The Message. Some of you may read The Message Bible. But these same verses have been kind of re-scripted with the same concepts, but this is how it sounds when you read it in The Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. As I said, fatigue is the result of workaholism, where we just can't say no to things. See, I grew up in a home where my father, who loved Jesus and he loved his family, he was a workaholic. And there were many times when we'd have a family function going on. It could even be Christmas Day. It could be this family celebration. He's like, hey, I'm going to go to the office down the street just because I have one more thing to do, right? That one more thing to do. I love my dad, but he would recognize he did that all too often because there was this thing that drove him that was not healthy. It was something that was churning those gears in his own soul that did not let him often rest. I've seen this up close and in person. But I want to ask you this. Maybe you're like me, and one of the reasons I think that fatigue is a stronghold against our culture, have you ever noticed how easy it is to give in to temptation when you're tired? Can I get a witness? Everybody's like, I hear a lot of mumble. Oh, I hear a lot of I don't hear a lot of amen, bro. That's me. Oh, boy. That's when I give in to temptation. Can I tell you? That's when I give in to temptation. I'm telling you, and I could see this pattern throughout my life. When I've worked too long, too many hours, that's when I say the things that I should never say. Is the things I do the things that I so regret doing and have to go back and repent for doing. So often it's when I've been so tired and just have not accepted God's grace and said, He's the one that's got to make this work. I can't make it all work in my own energy. We tend to give in to temptation when we're tired. Here's another thing that happens when we're fatigued, is that it frays family relationship. Even frays friendships. Why? Because we really don't have the energy to be fully present when we're fatigued. Let's say that again. We don't have the ability to be fully present with the other when we're fatigued. So I really do believe it is a stronghold of hell, this thing called fatigue, that he would just like kind of blanket over us so that we cannot be really present with those who God has placed us around. First, our families, husbands and wives. I'm just going to tell you, intimacy takes a hit when you're fatigued. It does. I'm not going to lie. Don't sugarcoat it. When you're tired, like, I ain't got time for that. But that just is a representation, right, of how this fatigue just frays our relationships. We snap at our kids. We distance ourselves. I just need some alone time, right? Why? Because we're desperately trying to recoup that thing that God wanted us to live in from the first place. That our work would be rooted out of our rest, not the other way around. I mentioned my friend AJ Swoboda earlier that had the great quote that we worship the God who created the weekend. He's a pastor, and an author. He lives up in Portland, Oregon. And as a pastor, he made this statement. The man just cuts me to the heart as a pastor. He said, if I commit adultery, lie, or steal, I'd lose my job. If I don't Sabbath, I'd probably get a raise. Ooh. See, that's at the heart of it, isn't it? Because we operate so strongly by this cultural bias of like, press, press, press. Be the man. Be the woman. Toughen up. You got more to give, right? Do one more lap. Now do another. You can do it. Press, press, press. We'll rest when we're dead. That's this cultural bias that we live in. But see, but God is giving us something very unconventional here. And it's a divine weapon to tear down the stronghold of fatigue. We have to fight. We have to work at rest. Before we wrap up, I want to also say that I believe that God has given us rest to fight the stronghold of fear. It's like, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Fear tells us that if we rest, we'll never have enough. So that's the word of fear over us, that if I were to like actually do that, if I was actually like to Sabbath, like to take a time, to take a day and like really like put all work aside and just focus on being healthy and establishing my relationships and with the Lord and with those around me, you do not understand my life. I know, listen, we live in a world where there are some harsh deadlines, some that are self-imposed, some that are just coming on the calendar, right? And there's times when we have to work extra hard, but when we do that, do we also build in times of rest? To recoup, to recharge, to reconnect with people around us. But there's this lie, there's this fear that if we do not keep going, pressing, that we won't have enough. Maybe the reason we don't rest and that we have this fear in us is because we really don't trust the Lord. We really don't trust what he says. In Matthew chapter 6, we find Jesus telling the people not to worry about having enough of the necessities of life, food, drink, clothing. Then he says this, Matthew 6, 31. He says, don't worry about these things, the necessities of life. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things, listen, dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. In other words, he's saying, that's conventional wisdom. Worry, worry, worry. Let fear dictate this press of work, work, work. You're never going to have enough if you rest. He said these thoughts dominate, right? Dominate unbelievers. He's saying, I want to come at this unconventionally. I want to twist your thinking in a very healthy, positive way. I want to flip the script. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God. Well, what's the kingdom of God? Well, all through God's word, we see that part of the kingdom of God is reflected in this concept of real rest. Rest for your soul. Ceasing work. Putting it aside. Allowing there to be this concept of the Sabbath, not to be a law that we have to follow, but to be this principle of God's kingdom that is all through his word. Rest. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, which guess what that means? Live making right choices. Like rest. You want to live righteously? Man, there's a lot of ways to do it, right? Don't get drunk. We agree, right? Don't beat your spouse. Don't beat your child. Don't beat your spouse's child. All those things, that's part, right? We would say, yeah, that's living righteously. Stop doing bad stuff. If you're stealing, Bible says quit stealing. All those things. But how about this about living righteously, making right choices? Rest. Seek God's kingdom first and live righteously. Make right choices. Rest. And he will give you everything you need. Whew. Do not fear. Rest. Do not fear. Rest. How do we actually do the work of resting? That's probably something we all will take the rest of our lives figuring out. But I want to give you something that I think there's great wisdom on this. Pastor Rick Warren has these three little ideas that he's tossed out there about creating something of a rhythm, right? This unforced rhythm of grace. He has these three things, and they're on a slide. Menu, you can put those up there. He says these three things. Divert daily. Withdraw weekly, abandon annually. Man, I think those are really, really healthy. When we think about as Christians, how do we do this Sabbath thing? How do we actually come away for ourselves in this reconnection of relationship with God and with those he's placed closely around us? Divert daily. Just do something that actually is relaxing to you. And I would suggest, do something healthy. Take a walk. Take a walk with that spouse that you're needing to reconnect with. I know that Kelly and I sometimes have our most deep conversations just on long walks. We like the Bob Jones Trail. It's pretty cool. We get on that Bob Jones Trail, walk all the way into Avila. We go get our little, what do they call them? Acai bowls, that's right. We go to the beach, we eat our little bowls of healthiness, and we take a long walk back. It is a great, it's a great Sabbath thing that we probably do about once a month. Another thing that we've started doing, we watch TV, but can I tell you, watching TV is all right. Sometimes, you know, our minds, we just need to like decompress. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but it can be, it can become something that can be unhealthy. It can add to our exhaustion and fatigue, right? Oh, just one more, right? We can binge watch along with the best of them, right? That's probably not healthy for the soul. That probably does not contribute to the Sabbath kind of rest that God has intended. But just recently, Kelly and I started doing something again that we haven't done for a long time. She's a really good reader. Like, read aloud, like I could just listen to her all day long, literally. I just love listening to her read. And so she got me a book recently. She got me, it's like the little Chip and Joanna Gaines story, like the fixer-upper people. We dig them. We think they're pretty cool. They have a beautiful book, you know? Like literally just like read to each other. I read to each other. I read and like my voice gets all dry and cracky after a couple chapters. She can just read and read and read and I can listen. And you know what? It fuels my soul. Read together. Read the word together. Pray together. Take some time. Divert daily. Find something to do. Withdraw weekly. This is that concept of like actually like turning off the cell phone. That's tough. I don't know if the Shrams have been able to practice this with ongoing fervor, but I know for a season, Tara and Jason Schramm, we're in their community group, man, and we go in their house and the kids start talking about, yeah, we have to like have this whole day where we live without electronics. I mean, like without electronics, like no TV that day. Like they cook dinner together as a family. They play games. They do things that are different. You know what, I think that is such a beautiful rhythm for families to get into. Like, how do you actually Sabbath together with if you have kids in your home, right? I think that's beautiful. I thank you for that. So do something to withdraw weekly. And this third thing, abandon annually. Like literally where you get away. Kelly and I, by the time our kids were kind of like older childhood, we got like almost tired of vacation because it was that press. We got to go see that person, then this family member, blah, blah. You know, vacation was like feeling hectic and not restful. So we said, what could we do to like change this up? And so we decided to start camping. So like we literally like went to Walmart and said, yep, that size tent. Give us the biggest one. And so like we just literally started a new pattern. We had never grown up camping, either one of us. But we decided we needed something different. We needed a different rhythm for our family. And you know, now that our kids are older and grown, probably some of the best memories we ever created were just hanging out, playing stupid games off of the end of the dock, and just having fun. Campfires and burning hot dogs, you know, all the stuff that makes up life, right? Of abandoning annually. Find some rhythm. So even today, as we gave out the calendar for you for 2017, that might be a little hint to actually take that home. Sit down with your personal calendar, not to like just fill it up, but to like say, God, when do you want me to get away? When do you want our family to do something different? What am I going to do for me? Some are single here. We've been talking about some family things. But you know what? This is just as important. And I would say, being very close to many singles, and my brother not even getting married till he was well up in his 40s, and watching that, and he lived with us for some of those years, watching up close and personal, I would say sometimes it's even more challenging for singles to find appropriate rest. Because there's always that next thing, and hey, well, you don't have family responsibilities, so hey, could you stay late, or could you do this, or could you work extra hours? And sometimes there's not as much economics, right, when you're the sole person that's providing everything that's needed for you, maybe for some kids too, right? I'll just tell our families that where there's maybe a mom and dad and kids present, I would say, man, come alongside of a single parent. Why don't you invite their children in to even allow that single parent to have some time? So I think it's one of the ways as a church that we could actually help each other, to come alongside of each other, to help out. Be aware of those sort of things. How can I help that other family? How can I help that other person, right? Listen, church, God has called us to be warriors. We're just supposed to fight different, with different weapons than the world uses, with different thinking than what dominates the world's thinking. We're to be warriors, but we're to be really well-rested warriors.